football on off the ball.
That was the main thing that when I finished playing football. In other words, you're bringing the knowledge that you have over years of football to people who watch football.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Now we're joined live on the line by the Shamrock Rovers midfielder and our very own Scarlett Heron. Scarlett, good morning.
Morning, lads.
Do you want to pick up there from where Kathleen left off with Owen last night? Because it is difficult at the moment, Scarlett, isn't it, to get not totally invested in the Republic of Ireland women's senior team, but the results aren't helping and probably more so the performances under Carla Ward.
Yeah, like, it's a very fair question to ask. Have we actually peaked at this stage? Obviously, with the World Cup a few years ago, there really hasn't been the sort of surge in, like, attendances or sort of support or recognition that we probably would have hoped for. Obviously, it was disappointing not to get to the Euros this summer, which obviously starts tomorrow. That's a huge blow because it's sort of a major tournament is that time where country can rally behind the girls and sort of get behind the team, and that's where all the recognition comes from, is from getting to major tournaments like that. And it's disappointing we're not there. And yeah, I think it's all about now sort of looking forward. I don't think those games did much for everyone around. I don't even know if people really knew they were on. There wasn't a whole lot around social media or really any talk about it, which was pretty disappointing enough. I know the last time when we were there a few years ago, there was probably more sort of hype about the games being sort of a historic fixture against the US and things like that. But yeah, a weird time to be a Irish women's football supporter.
Yeah, like, in many ways, it looks brave to take the two set of fixtures on 3 days apart in sweltering conditions against, you know, the best team in the world under Emma Hayes. Like, it's formidable opposition. But then, Scarlett, you question, like, well, what was the point in it now in the aftermath of it? Because it's consecutive 4-0 defeats in 3 days, and the USA have their second team out largely in the most recent defeat. What can Ireland take from it, despite the obvious, well, lots of room for improvement? Is there any tangible successes?
Yeah, well, I suppose the one thing I sort of noticed, obviously, we're missing the cohort of our team, really. We're missing five or six starters. So it was always going to be difficult. But I think the one thing I noticed was Saoirse Noonan probably has made her mark and confirmed herself maybe in our starting 11. So she was playing as, say, a number nine, and Ciara Caruso was kind of playing behind her in more of a 10 role. So that's probably the only thing tactically that you can look at. Chloe Mustaki played her first game since December 2023. So that's obviously due to Katie McCabe and Megan Campbell being out, but great for her to be back in the squad. And then Hayley Nolan as well got on. We've seen a few faces that we mightn't have seen before, but at the same time, we have the likes of Ellen Malloy, who I think is probably one of the most technical players we have in terms of getting on the ball and being able to cause other teams problems and create opportunities for us. And we didn't see her at all, which was kind of disappointing for me. I know she's obviously a League of Ireland player, so I'm probably a bit biased, but I think Ellen, compared to the rest of the girls, is up there and she can compete. And when you're against teams like the US, who are so technical, you want your most technical players on the pitch to be able to compete. And I think off the ball, we probably at times were very compact. We defended well for the majority, but then obviously leaking 8 goals over the two legs isn't great.
I think the whole point from Carla Ward's perspective is that you get extra time with this group who aren't there being overshadowed, or who aren't there automatically looking for Katie McCabe and Denise
Sullivan. That helps, definitely. Yeah, without Katie McCabe was a big plus, I'd say. But it's just... Sorry, you weren't finished, right?
Well, I guess, like, I see a lot of people criticising the whole idea of actually taking these games at this point. But you're building a relationship, and, like, we will get them to come over to us at some point. The hype will come back. You have to play a bit of a long game here, and Carla Ward needs as much exposure to as many players in the squad for as long as possible to try and build team spirit and understand as much about the characters of the players when they are under pressure.
Yeah, I agree. And it's all about contact hours. Like, that is the sort of buzzword at the minute within Irish football, men's and women's. Yeah. So I think as long as we're building that, there can't be many negatives. Like, she got 10 days there to be with the team and to obviously learn what they're like, even their personalities, and to get the squad together. There's obviously some new faces in there, and to sort of breed them together so we are more of a cohesive team and unit. And obviously she's working on a few things for Belgium that we probably don't see. I think the training ground is probably where the most positives would be taken from this week, I would assume. Obviously playing, there was a lot of talk about the heat after the game and different things, probably wasn't ideal. But as you said there, Jer, like, they will come back. They will come here one day to play a game, and like that'll be sellout. That's, we will get such crowds that game. And I suppose, yeah, it is looking at playing the long game, building that relationship. Obviously, Carla and Emma Hayes have a relationship from a few years ago. So that's obviously important. If we could get the US here for a game to get big crowds in, that would be great. But yeah, it's the question now of, would we have been better off playing against a team in Europe who are preparing for the Euros in a few weeks? Because obviously there's been a few sort of warm-up games for the likes of England. Would we have been better off staying here or staying local and getting a game in normal conditions against maybe not as good as an opponent to prep us for Belgium?
What area of the pitch does Carla Ward need to develop the most? What's the most urgent requirement there? Because like, there's a lack of a goal scorer that we've had for quite some time now. Anywhere else though?
Well, I think the first thing for us is probably being defensively sound. Our back four has changed a lot, whether it's a back four or five. She went with a back four and then changed it in the second half of the last game to a back five. And I don't know, that's something we're going to be looking at. I'd say if we go up to Ligue 1, that's something that we're going to have to look at, is going back to that back five. I know that there's a lot of sort of different places in that back line now. We have Jessie Stapleton, who's come in the last few months and has played really well. And we've sort of been chopping and changing with our centre-halves at times as well. So she was playing right back this sort of window. She was playing centre-half in the sort of Nations games there a while ago. So it's very choppy changey at the minute. And I think if she can get a back line that is sort of 100% and can be consistent and know each other, play together all the games, and when you have a solidified back four, I think it makes a lot easier on the rest of your team to sort of be used to each other and be able to have a certified sort of phase of play building up. If you're building up from the back, they'll be a lot more practiced with each other, make things a lot easier, I think.
Which was actually the more encouraging performance out of the two games?
Well, you'd like to say the second one. You'd like to say that you learned from the first game. I think the heat was probably a bigger issue in the second game than the first. So
it was mental, wasn't it? The temperatures were crazy.
Yeah, I think it was the humidity as well that caused a lot of problems. But I think the second game, we were probably better at winning the ball back, just from a defensive point of view. But then I think the next step then is when we get the ball and when we have possession, we need to be able to do something with it. We need to be able to get up the pitch. Whether if it's the pace, if we're trying to break them down quickly to get them on the counter, that's something we need to look at, sort of getting balls quickly into channels. Because in the first game, we had Amber Barrett running the line on her own. And bless Amber, I know she has a bit of pace to her, but I don't think she's able to run the line on, like, completely on her own for 90 minutes, just when we're pumping balls up to her with no support. So I'd say that's probably another thing to look at, is just when we do have the ball, that calmness, the decision making, sort of have a different sort of set of players options. If we're bouncing into midfield where we had an overload that we didn't really use, and then whether we're just playing straight up to the wingers who are staying wide, whatever, maybe.
All eyes on Belgium. So as for your own Shamrock Rovers, 3-1 victory over Waterford in the FAI Cup through to the quarterfinal. I was watching that back yesterday and I thought, did our own Scarlett Heron just get the equaliser there?
There was a bit of sort of confusion. Myself and Joy Ralph just sort of ran at it from a great ball in, and I think the defender ended up putting it in her own net, so I can't really claim that one.
Scarlett, just always claim it, sure, no one's going to check.
No,
absolutely.
No. Got the last touch anyway.
Yeah, I think the first name out of the commentator's mouth was, that could be a Scarlett Heron goal.
We'll take that then.
Take it. Have it for the statistics officially. As for Shamrock Rovers overall, it's a mixed bag of a season. It's about fifth in the league. How much of a difference did Rusha Littlejohn make? Because I'm going to ask you about the departure in a second, but it's not just down to Rusha Littlejohn, of course, but like, is there a before and after Littlejohn in the team, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think there probably is a before and after, but the after is a lot better than the before in terms of before she came. I thought she was brilliant. Like, even just, she was like an extra coach coming in and also playing. She was nearly like a player coach. Even in training, that's sort of the things that no one else will see, is where she probably made the most impact. Just sort of leaving her mark in terms of we have a very young squad. I think our average age is something like 19 years of age, which is bonkers for a League of Ireland setup. But she definitely came in and sort of would take a lot of pride in sort of leaving her advice and giving different tips and tricks to all of us as young players, which was really, really beneficial for us. And just to sort of have that player there that we can all look up to. Like, I've looked up to Brucia for years, and you know, when you hear her coming into the league and to your team, it's that excitement, and like, you learn so much from her when she's in. You just want to sort of pick her brain at any moment and sort of get any information you can out of her and learn as much as you can in such a short space of time, because she wasn't with us for long, and obviously she had two camps in that time as well, so it's difficult for her to sort of manage all that while managing her body as well, her Achilles. So it was great, it was great for us to have her, and I think she's left a great sort of effect on the team. I think we're a lot better off having had her, and we obviously wish her the best of luck and wherever she goes next.
I'm always fascinated to hear about like the technical ability of these high profile players, Scarlett. Of course, we saw the goal that went viral from Ruth Littlejohn from the halfway, but what was she like in training? Because I imagine you had a perception of her beforehand about what she was like with the Republic of Ireland and throughout her club career, but when you see her up close and personal regularly, does that shift your view?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for me was not even, she's not a player that she's going to go around doing rainbow flicks and step overs and dribbling past players, but it's more the composure she had on the ball in tight spaces and just nearly her passing ability. Like, you'd look at a few, like, players across the league, if you play a pass, it could be bobble or it mightn't be like as direct to the back foot, but when she plays the ball, it's zinged in, you know, it's played, and you know it's played with such, like, such a pro. Like, she just has it mastered to the very last tee, and the age old saying is like, football is a simple game, but it's really hard to play, and you have to nail those simple things, the simple traits of the game, and that's exactly what she did, and she was a master at that, and you could tell she was sort of that seasoned pro who's been in the game for ages, and just sort of her attitude towards the game as well. She had little sort of edges on people, she'd sort of get an opponent's head as well, which is really, really important and probably isn't seen as much in the women's game as it would be in the men's, just sort of trying to get that mental edge on your opponent as well.
Like chirping away verbally?
Yeah, nearly, yeah.
Go on, give us some examples. Go on.
Well, I've actually, I was talking to one of my friends who plays for an opposing team that we played against, and she was saying, we were playing against them one weekend, and I met her the week after, and she was saying, why does Ruscha like go around nearly barking at people? I was like, what? And she was like, whenever I had the ball, she'd be pressing me, and she was like, making, just making any sort of noise nearly to put you off. And that's not that, that'd be seen as like abstract, but it does work. And just sort of, she's bonkers, like, she really is. And everything you see online kind of rings true. You've seen her when she went into camp there doing the spin class with the Irish team. She was as if she was a spin instructor getting everyone up and that. She's a ball of energy, like, and she's very, very funny. But when stuff gets serious, she can switch on as well, which is probably why she's been so successful. She's a great character, but also knows when to sort of calm it down and to be professional in a setting.
We saw that like minutes after the Wales defeat at the Aviva last year, when she told the country Ireland needs to modernise their football quickly on the women's side. And it just brings me to this point, is your own Shamrock Rovers boss Collie O'Neill lamenting the departure of Ruscha Littlejohn and Katie Keane, who's gone to Leicester City, saying both Ruscha and Katie, top professionals on and off the pitch, we would have loved to have kept them, but the reality is simple, players of their calibre deserve to be playing full time top level football. The answer is obvious that we all want that to happen, but the question is, how do we get there?
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that Ruscha really honed in on when she was here, and I'm very grateful that she did, because I don't think we have an awful lot of people pushing standards in our league. There's a few names that would come to mind, but she really came in and pushed the standards throughout the league. She would come in and say, this isn't a high enough quality, this isn't, and even in our training as well, she would, this isn't good enough, if you want to push for leagues or trophies, this isn't, and then she'd look at maybe different things inside the club and say, that's not good enough, this isn't good enough. And I heard her on multiple podcasts saying how much the league needs to do in the next few years. We're at like sort of a stalling point at the minute. We had great attendance rise after the World Cup, and then it's dipped again. So there's a lot that has to be done. And she came in and like, she doesn't sort of sugarcoat it at all. She gets straight to the point, very blunt. And that's what you need. Like, we need more people like that in the game saying this needs to change. And if it doesn't change, we're going to fall behind even more. So I think that's the thing she really honed in on, which is vitally important for us in this country.
All right, Scarlett, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, guys.